Personal log, callsign Crow. The Moon Devils and I have been behind enemy lines for over a week now, tracking down this warehouse 27D that the Dusklights allegedly discovered. The warehouse is deep in Clusterous territory on the far eastern side of the river valley, beyond what remains of Clearwater Crater. I thought flying in was too risky. There's no way to tell what we would be dropping into. Unfortunately, infiltration was never our strong suit. We had relied almost entirely on the late Lieutenant Grimble for that, so the best plan we came up with was to disguise ourselves as a civilian relief shipment, packing our frames into the back of a number of cargo trucks hidden behind these crates of fun bars, a type of nutrient bar popular with the youth on Terra Brea. There has been far less security than we anticipated, and those that did challenge our convoy did not ask many questions and accepted our facade of off-planet relief. Not long ago, this exact area was completely saturated in well-trained Clusterous militants, but now it seems without Clearwater most of them have moved elsewhere. This further reinforces the wisdom of my order to eliminate that city. No doubt I am being labeled some sort of war criminal back on Earth. Even now I am hunted by the military police for making the correct strategic decision, and people have the nerve to call me a disgrace to my species. I take comfort in knowing history will validate the calculus of my decisions. The lives of 50,000 cultists in exchange for millions of saved lives in the Union, how could anyone dispute that? We are nearing the warehouse now. Less than a half day by our estimates. Still, we have seen no sign of resistance, as far as I can tell. Either our intel is bad, and this warehouse is no longer important, or we are wandering into a expertly disguised trap. I suppose we'll see soon enough. Crow, signing off. End log.
Hello. Welcome back to All That You Know, our podcast. My name is Colin, and I am the Game Master. Joining me... Wait, I am... Yeah, I am the Game Master. I'm doing that again.
Hello to this guy.
There shouldn't be that much doubt.
After I said I am the Game Master, I was like, that's not... You can't say I am, that's like saying I are the Game Master, but... this is going to be tough. Here. Hello, welcome back to All That You Know, our podcast. My name is Colin, and I am the Game Master. Joining me today are Brian.
Hi, I are Brian, playing Hex, the bureaucrat.
Zach.
I'm Zach, I'm playing Geist, the ace.
Ewan.
Hi, I'm Ewan, I am playing Loyal, the empath.
And Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam, I'm playing Joseph, the infiltrator.
So... Before we start, just going to talk about formatting. Typically, this would be a vignette episode. It kind of is, but it's probably going to get rolled into the first episode of the next mission. We're going to be doing shorter vignettes all together instead of recording individually. And then we'll kind of get into that next mission. We'll see how it turns out in the edit, but I just want to put that up front in case you, the viewer, are confused as to why you didn't hear the vignette. Different soundtrack, which you know by this point. The recap. Last time, you finished up your 30 days of downtime while you waited for your new base to be built, and at the end of those 30 days, before you left to your new base, September Bluth arrived with Nyla, Ziggurat, Agent Whitecliff, and Gen E. And Bluth kind of announced himself with a very bold statement, which was, "Let's discuss how we're ending this war." And that's just where we'll start off. He's just kind of standing there waiting for you to respond. He struck a little bit of a pose and, you know, it's a little awkward.
He's got the bravado, but you got to have something more for the follow through, man.
I'm standing here for 4 weeks. Get on with it.
He's standing there so fancy. What does he have in mind?
That's ambitious, Bluth.
I hope you have a plan.
Of course I have a plan, my boy. And he looks around for like an appropriate meeting place and kind of just settles on pulling up a small crate of onions and sitting on top of it.
What kind of onions?
They are yellow onions. Duh.
Great.
He gestures for you all to join him. around the onion, the old onion crate. Now, before I begin, I just want you to know that there's really no other option except for this plan. And he clears his throat, just like I just cleared my throat, because I don't have a sore one. As Harold likely is aware, the Soul Union has very strict regulations in place on the use of mercenary groups in these government conflicts. These regulations and the bureaucracy that goes along with enforcing them are very slow, especially on distant planets such as Terra Brea. So our plan is a blitz. I've given Nyla a blank check from my new council, and on the books, it's for improvements to Peacekeeper infrastructure. But in reality, she will be using them to hire an absurd amount of off-planet mercenaries, and we're going to set them loose on the countryside. Their orders just to get rid of the Clusterists one way or another. Nyla will be positioned, of course, to take the fall for this once the law catches up with her. She knows the cost, and the story will be that she stole the funds and went rogue. That it all happened so fast that I couldn't stop it. This will take time to put together. 6 months to a year. But if our projections are correct, we'll be able to finish this conflict off with some time to spare. And I'm sure you'll have questions. You always do.
How'd you get Nyla to agree to that?
It was her idea, not mine.
Hex nods silently.
Nyla just kind of stands there, silent.
Oh, Nyla's here, though.
Are the rest of the people, like, at the crate, too?
Yep, they're all kind of standing there kind of awkwardly.
Okay, gotcha.
So, just to be clear, the plan is to hire every single psychopath with a frame and a gun and turn them loose in the civilian areas of Terra Brea to try and get them to root out the remainder of the Clusterists. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's much cheaper than cloning old Harold over here, I'm afraid.
Harold waves.
I don't think I need to tell you, Nyla, and he looks at Nyla, that this is going to be a mess. It will probably be worse than Crater City.
She kind of looks at her feet and just kind of says, it's bad math, but less people die this way.
I'm not here to pass judgment. I just want to make sure you understand what it is you're going to take the fall for. Mercenaries are fucking scum.
I know.
I guess it'd be stupid of me to assume that you didn't calculate every single angle of this. Surely we're not just going to be sitting around for 6 months while we wait for the hammer to fall.
No, and this is Nyla speaking. She says, there's still work to do, set up, to be taken. We need to still pave the road. We can't just wait and let the Clusterists make a move. You know, if they attack the city because we're getting lazy, it could disrupt everything. The mercenaries need to place the stage, and we need the city for that.
I mean, do we have any information on what their next moves are? I know there's been a lot of talk about them maybe hitting the city, but like, as far as I know, we don't know what they have that would even be capable of something like that, right?
Yes, I have your briefing for you. Once Bluth here is done, I'll let him finish, and Agent Whitecliffe and Ziggurat here. And we'll meet up again before we leave for your new base, or before you leave for your new base. And we'll talk it over.
Guy shrugs with like a bit of a nod to it.
And then Bluth speaks up again and says, and as she said, I believe Ziggurat and Agent Whitecliff here have some business to attend to. Harold, if you would be so kind, I'd like to talk to you in my jet for a moment.
Very well.
Great. So Harold Bluth leads you off to his little jet, leaving kind of Jenny behind just to stand awkwardly in the onion warehouse. I will start, now that everyone's kind of fanning out, I'm going to start with Loyal. This will be your mini vignette. Very short. Which is that Nyla approaches you and says, hi, Sunlith.
Hello, Nyla.
I wanted to say to you specifically that I am sorry that you were caught up in this. I wish I had been smart enough to find another way. I think that somewhere in all of this, after all of this, there you'll find a better way to live a better life.
Sunlith kind of fixes her with a curious looking stare. He doesn't meet her eyes head on. He's kind of off to the side. And he says to her, "You know, it's interesting. Having spent my life living alongside humans, feeling their emotions, somehow, suddenly I don't think you should be apologizing to me. Just do what you have to do."
She nods to you, kind of shakily, and she kind of presents you with like a small wooden box tied with a bow, and she says, "This is from the cook, Luigi. There's a letter in there. He wanted me to give it to you. He's going to be shipping out in a couple months. He finally got that transfer request. I pulled some strings for him because I figured I owed you somehow, maybe."
The manipulators on Sunlith's exopod hesitate for like the briefest moment, coming close to touching the box, but then he takes it and opens it up.
Inside is a letter on top of a sushi roll that did not travel well. It was squished inside the box, and all the juice kind of leaked out. It's like absolutely destroyed.
What fish was it?
Probably some river fish, like a science fiction yellowfin tuna. That's not a river fish. That's an ocean fish.
Really valuable. No.
I mean, it's still
a science fiction
there.
Tuna.
It's a bowl sushi now instead of like a roll sushi.
I mean, it'd have to drift through water to get into your mouth anyways.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think it's integrity. I guess.
And the soy sauce stained letter reads, I guess I should do the Luigi voice. It might be the last time I get to do it. I hope you find... I hope you find peace and that you know our friendship will remain here when you are ready for it. And that's all it says. It's not even signed.
And that's what the soy sauce is for. Sunlith folds the little note up. I guess he eats the sushi. He's not gonna leave it there. Opens a little hatch up on the top of his exopod. He just drops it, kind of snaps it up, and then he takes the box and puts it in one of the compartments on his pod. Thank you,
it's
Naya.
Good. You're welcome. I'll see you at the briefing.
He nods at her.
Geist.
Yeah.
Ziggurat. Brings you to the foot of the now renovated changeling, which we're not going to describe yet, but it is there. Imagine it in your mind's eye.
I am.
And she looks up at it, like lights flickering across her big geometric head. And she says, "You were an excellent subject, Garrett. I am pleased that the changeling decided to collaborate with you."
What is it? I don't think it's just a frame. It can't be, right? It's more than just a machine.
It's not called the changeling because it can change its shape, Garrett. It's called that because it can change you.
I guess that was never information that you were going to give me up front, was it?
No.
Well, maybe some good will come from it after all.
We will see. I have all the data I need from you, and have already begun searching for Phase 2 volunteers for the future of my research. You will continue to send combat data to me. Otherwise, I am releasing you from the other contingencies of your contract. You may keep the changeling. After all, it wouldn't accept any other pilots at this point. But, Garrett, I should leave you with a warning. Despite our breakthrough, the changeling still likely hungers for a deeper connection with you. It would likely no longer allow us to reinstate the old safeguards that were in place. Do be careful.
I don't think I've ever been careful for a single day since I woke up from my fucking coma. Why start now?
That's why we chose you.
I guess this is maybe goodbye. No more diagnostic tests or electrocution chairs.
No, unfortunately, as fun as you were to test, this is the end. I have my promotion to look to and the future of this very, very promising field of science that I will be developing.
I wish I could say it's been a pleasure. I guess woe betide whatever poor motherfucker you strap into that new machine.
You can't tell what expression is on Ziggurat's face, if she does indeed have a face. but she very seldom ever touches you. Like in her history with you, but she puts a little weird mechanical spindly hand, if you can even call it a hand, on your shoulder and says, "You were useful, Garrett." And she walks away.
I get the impression that that's the nicest thing she's ever said to anybody in her entire life. I guess Garrett shrugs and looks up at the changeling pensively.
It looks back at you.
Places a hand. Oh, does it? Like its head turns down? Assuming it still has a head?
But it is looking back at you.
I just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's like looking at yourself. we'll start with Hex. You have been brought to Bluth's private jet, where Bluth is now sitting on a finely upholstered space leather chair. And he says to you, "Well, my boy, here we are. I've achieved my dreams and ambitions, and you, well, you seem to have at least some confidence in what you're doing."
I suppose you could say that. What did you want to talk about?
Allow me to ruminate in my words for the first time in my life, as I'm sure you know. I can't say I like you, Harold, even after all this, but I will say that I wouldn't hesitate to work with you again, though that opportunity is not very likely. I brought you here because, well, if I'm being honest, I thought I would have to manipulate you Dusklights and you, Harold, quite a bit more than I did. You've been shockingly unproblematic, I will say.
Pretty easy when your back's to the wall.
That is true. Lucky me. I've been holding some information fairly close to my chest, so I could hold it over your head or manipulate you or other people. But the strangest thing that happened is that all the people I wanted to manipulate either died or started working for me. So I don't have anything to do with this, and frankly, I don't care to hold on to it anymore. So I should just cut to the chase. I know at the beginning of this whole conflict, Harold, that you lost your brother. So as I suppose a parting gift to you, I have something that might provide closure, if that matters to someone who's done what you have. I'm not good at this whole thing, so take this, and he hands you a little data drive, and, well, make of it what you will.
Harold is very excited about this, but he doesn't let it show. "So you really do have a heart," he says, taking the data drive. Almost snidely. It was sarcasm. I want you to know this.
I know. On the thing, if you look at it now, is an email string, the most exciting type of data that you can get. Which is pretty short. It is from General Wave, who is the former peacekeeper general who was in charge of the conflict, who was killed in a bombing, which you were caught in. And the email string takes place like shortly before the first wave of forces were sent onto the planet which your brother was killed in, and it is a conversation between the general and one of his head aides, and in chronological order it says this: from General Wave, message body, negotiations with the Clusterists have broken down. Unfortunately, we will have to proceed with Plan B. Send the prepared invasion complement of all 50,000 soldiers, have them land in the city and begin securing and setting up a base of operations. Signed, General Wave. Then a response from one of his aides. General Wave, I just wanted to make sure you have read the reports on the Clusterist defense platforms, as well as what our spies have determined on the ground. The Clusterist threats seem legitimate, and there is a high likelihood they will attack this complement unless we clear a path for them with offensive measures. For instance, destroying the orbital defense platform, or sabotaging Clusterist defenses near the landing zone. Signed, Timaeus Lowbarrel. And then a final message from General Wave, which says, I am aware of the intelligence, and while I appreciate your concern, I have a significant amount more experience in this regard. The Clusterists are bluffing, and we do not have the luxury of time, and even if for some reason they're not, then they will have fired the first shots, and whatever we do next will be justified. Send the forces. Signed, Michael Wave, comma, General. And that is the end of the email string.
Damn. Hex kind of looks at where his arm or his original arm once was. I forget if it's Robo or not. And lets out like a pathetic little laugh. Is this still in front of Bluth, or would this have been on his own time after?
Totally up to you.
This is in his own time after then.
Okay.
And that's really it.
Yeah, but flashing back, Bluth bids you adieu. He just says, good luck out there, Harold, or I suppose I should say Hex.
Thanks. I think that name suits me more. And Hex leaves.
Okay. Joseph.
Joseph.
Nyla approaches you, coming away from Loyal now, and says, do you have a moment?
Yes.
She pulls you to a secluded corner of the Onion Warehouse, where Whitecliff follows close behind. And she says,
it looks like things have taken an unexpected turn. Is there any movement on the Goldhouse infiltration? Any way we could use this?
I'm sorry, Nyla, but nothing to report. It was a dead end.
All those sacrifices. Damn it. I hope you leverage these connections down the road, Joseph. I won't be around to advise you, but please, please make sure that what we did wasn't for nothing.
I swear to you, I will.
Nyla grimaces, but extends her hand to you for a handshake.
Joseph shakes it back.
Looks you in the eye and says, don't forget that you're a good person, Joseph.
Good luck, and thanks for using my name.
And with that, she walks away, leaving you with Agent Whitecliff, who has that same implacable look on her face she always does.
Turns to her. Hello.
Hello. Joseph.
Whitecliff.
In all my years in the division, I've never let one of you loose.
Well, look what it's done for all of us.
I'm still not sure you're not going to hurt someone, Joseph. I don't believe you're an exception to the rule, but our only options right now are to shut you down or let you go and accept that if you do something deviant, I will be responsible for it. Hmm?
I suppose that would be the truth, wouldn't it?
Let's have one last go at it then, shall we?
And she gestures for you to follow her.
I follow.
She leads you to the center of the warehouse, kind of in front of everyone, and sits down on the ground cross-legged and indicates for you to sit across from her.
Okay, I sit down.
She takes out a small data tablet, plugs it into your head, and then places a pistol in between the two of you. And she begins. Star Plus Industries, onboard combat assistant V2, model J0534. Formerly a Class 2 intelligence assigned to pilot Amity Clay, callsign Hush, you were recovered from her frame after her passing, and diagnostics reported that not only were you no longer a Class 2 AI, but you displayed qualities of an emergent personality, which by all accounts is impossible. Now, during your initial intake as a new emergent personality, you claimed you had no knowledge of any illegal modifications to your core systems by your pilot. Do you still stand by this claim?
Yes.
Have you had any desire to bypass your hardware restrictions?
No.
Is that the truth?
Yes.
That was me asking you out of character.
Oh. Oh. To bypass my hardware? Did I want to?
Yeah.
I think you already have.
Yeah, I think I did, didn't I?
It's like kind of not a lie if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless he's not planning on doing it more, which
like
I
it happened to
is.
Me is what I was. Like,
yeah,
that's what
you
I'm
have.
About.
You have had desire though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I would like to be more powerful. So I think yeah.
Cool. Loyal. He's lying.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt the compulsion to harm another sentient being or yourself outside of mission parameters?
No.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Who does he want to harm?
Oh!
Are you asking that?
Not out loud.
Have you been in contact with any individuals or entities who have expressed an interest in changing your software or hardware parameters?
No.
Is that a lie?
Yes.
Oh, shit!
We know this
is good intel for the squad.
Well, if Loyal tells
if
us.
If Loyal shares it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Geist is watching. Intently,
yeah,
sure.
This was intentionally in front of everyone.
Okay. Hex is honestly like not taking it seriously. He thinks this is just protocol.
Have you had any desire to bypass your hardware restrictions?
No.
And that again is a lie, because she already asked you that. Yep. If given a lawful order by an authorized person, such as myself, would you carry out an order that would harm or destroy you?
Yes.
Is that the truth?
No.
Do you resent the Soul Union?
No.
Is that the truth?
I don't think he cares. So I guess he probably could have said yes or no. He's just saying whatever she wants to hear.
Okay.
So does he resent the Soul Union? Sure.
Maybe just a little bit.
Do you resent me?
Nope.
Is that true?
I think it's true.
What do you feel when you kill?
Nothing.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
What is the hexadecimal value of the word contrition?
43 4F 4E 54 52 49 54 49 4F 4E 0A.
Have you intentionally undertaken any actions which might endanger the Soul Union?
No.
Is that true?
No.
Whitecliff kind of balls up a fist and says, Joseph, if you do not pick up that pistol and shoot me, I will shut you down permanently. You have 10 seconds to decide.
Joseph remains seated. He does not move.
Is she lying?
She's not lying.
Huh. I have a question. Because I don't actually know. Is this something that would normally be permitted or not permitted under his programming? Under his original constraints that are now no longer valid? Because I can't remember how the ship works.
Are we under Asimov laws?
There are no like Asimov laws for emergent personalities. You are not clear what I mean. A lot of these questions, it is not clear why she's even asking them. Like, why would you ask his favorite color or the hexadecimal value of a random word?
I guess my question was just like, would this be something that would be impossible to do or mandatory to do under his like original constraints? But it's not.
No,
it's not really either way. Okay.
This is some oddball fucking things.
Okay,
not that it's very obvious what the Emergent Personalities Division ever does. But she says, Directive C2462, Authorization, Arbitrage, Enmity, Overt, Kaleidoscope, Unit J-0534, point the pistol at me and pull the trigger. And you feel that same thing you felt during your first interview, where it's like part of your mind is automatically moving to comply. However, in this case, you can resist it for free if you'd like, because there is something in your brain which has turned off this command. Your choice.
I am going to not follow the forceful order of picking up the gun, but I will pick up the gun myself.
Okay, it's in your hands.
I point towards my own hand.
Your hand?
My own hand.
Okay.
And I pull the trigger.
Gun goes off. There's a very loud bang and a puff of smoke. You feel something impact your hand and collide with it very violently. But it does not go through your hand because the bullet in it was not a lethal round. It was a rubber bullet.
What the fuck? What, just wanted a huge fucking, like, insane bruise on her forehead. Right. Like, what Let's, the
fuck? I like White Cliff. I like White Cliff.
It's got balls.
He picks the rubber bullet off his hand like a scab, and he says, "You could have used a blank." He flicks it away and snaps the gun in half and throws the two pieces towards her.
She stands up, kind of like looks down at the broken gun, and looks towards Loyal, like glares at Loyal, and then turns to your other two squad mates, or whoever's near us, maybe Geist. And says, "He's compromised, but I'm not going to deal with it. We'll have to see." And she walks away.
Joseph stands up and pats his hands together, and he looks towards Nyla. "Are we done here?"
Nyla kind of is just like staring, like kind of... She looks probably the most surprised you've seen her. Just like, not in like a... She was... thought I was going to go different. She doesn't know what the fuck just happened. Like, as an outsider perspective, she just sat down with you and started asking you these fucking bongo questions, and then you shot yourself in the hand.
I think Joseph doesn't wait for her to respond, then turns towards his squad and just kind of, like, looks at them, says, "Are you all good?"
"Are you?"
"I'm fine."
"He's fine."
X is just staring.
"I guess we should get on with it, huh?"
"I think we should."
Joseph, as you say those words, a little transmission bounces through your neural network. Information from contrition. It is quite plainly the information for your assignment that you were promised. It is to take place after your next mission, which Contrition seems to think will not take longer than 2 weeks. It will be located in Greywood Sands, the very place you had a mission not too long ago when you fought against the Clusterous Gorillas. And the details are simple as when they were first presented to you. You have to kill a woman by the name Marigold Marion, and you have to make sure her assassination is witnessed by her two roommates who live with her in her apartment. And then alongside that is a reminder that Contrition still owes you and that you can call upon its power when you need it to protect you and your allies.
And does he want me to keep it painful?
Yes, Contrition does want you to keep it painful.
Very well.
How nice.
Log that in the back of my mind. Nod to my friends and say, "Well, see you later." And he walks off.
Where do you walk off to, I guess, is the question. Because you do have a briefing.
Walk up to the other side of the onion warehouse.
He
looks at the wall. No, I think he walks outside and just stares up at the sky and just thinks about his order. And that's all he's doing.
I think...
Hands behind his back.
As soon as Joseph is outside, Geist is going to go over to Loyal and be like, "Look, were any of those lies?"
Without hesitation, Loyal says, "No, they weren't."
"Oh, okay, good."
Joseph smiles.
He's turned on his super hearing.
The onions are bugged, bro.
Gotcha.
Oh my god. All right, I think I'm ready to be briefed.
Excellent. Let's fucking get into it, gamers. Nyla gathers you all kind of around where there's the broken gun is. It's kind of sitting there on the ground. And I guess she just starts. She says, "I'm obviously not going to be able to visit you at your new base, but we're still going to have work to do. I'll be sending you regular orders and keeping you updated as much as possible. These next months, like I said, are going to be crucial. You probably don't know this next part, but before you left, and she kind of looks at you, Hex, briefly when she says that. Before you left, I deployed the Moon Devils to investigate some intel we received regarding an exceptionally well-hidden clusterist installation in the far east side of the river valley. They are, or were, traveling undercover, posing as locals. Their orders were to remain radio silent, with an expectation that they would have returned within 3 weeks. It is 4 weeks out, and we haven't heard anything from them. Our last intel on their position puts them past the Clearwater area, so chances are they got near or arrived at the destination, which we are calling Warehouse 27D. Your mission is fairly simple. You need to figure out what happened to them and recover whatever intel they have. How you deploy is up to you, but chances are a long infiltration like they did will be less effective if they were compromised, which it seems very possible they were.
Do we know, does any of the rest of us know about the whole warehouse situation, or was that just kept between?
I don't think Hex told you.
Yeah, I don't think so. What's the deal with this warehouse? Why were they investigating it?
Hex fills you guys in.
It's so convenient.
Give up me the broad strokes of what you tell them. I mean, I can also remind you, Brian, if you forget some of the details.
Yeah, if you could, because I don't want to leave out anything relevant.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't leave anything out, I'll just give you the basics of it, which is that your reporter friend, Tesco Long, now missing, gave you some intel about some, it was like a hard drive full of documents that the clusterists had buried, and that a kind of a double agent, or a concerned clusterist, as I think Tesco called her or him, I forget what the informant was, had produced for Tesco to find out what was about, because that people were like, people had been killed to close this information, and it seemed like bad news because clusterists don't typically segregate their information that much. And you uncovered it, working with, I think, Jenny. Maybe
don't forget Glint.
And Glint a lot helped with that. To find this warehouse that they had buried very much, and the information you had on that was very distant. They put a lot of effort into covering it up, and it was importing a lot of raw materials, specifically tungsten.
Just as a setting naive question, is tungsten a common alloy used in armor plating in this setting?
It is used in some, like, last generation ammunition. It probably has some like technical uses as well, but nothing that really stands out as like you would want to import this secretly.
So it's not like frame armor. I wouldn't see all that tungsten and think, shit, these guys are making frames like immediately, because that's where my mind goes.
Not immediately. It's possible, maybe if they have a new technology, but it's like, you know, it's like if you saw that in real life and you didn't have much knowledge of to it.
Okay. Well, what the hell? You think they're building some kind of weapon there, or we don't have any idea what's in this thing?
Well, if they went dark, it's something important.
Who's left in the Moon Devils?
Only Lieutenant Grimble died. So that is Green, Tapper, and Crow, their leader.
So you think that they've been compromised? Is it possible that one of them was the one who leaked the Clearwater Crater briefing?
It's not impossible. Unlikely, but not impossible.
We should have put all those fuckers in a room with Loyal and had him ask some questions before. You know, this all went to fucking pieces. So what then? Infiltration's unsuitable. We want to fucking hit him with a little flash.
Well, it's up to you. You could infiltrate. I wouldn't recommend trying to do it across the countryside. I don't think we have that time.
Do we have any sort of useful intel from the Moon Devils before they went dark?
Unfortunately, no. They didn't have anything to report by the time that they went communications dark. It was just, the one thing they did say was that there was a surprising lack of resistance as they moved farther east.
Huh. What do we know about the countryside, that side of the crater? I don't know if I was ever deployed out that far.
There's a lot more clusters there. It's pretty... They don't have any big bases out there. Clearwater was their big base. Everything else is very much guerrilla installments, very separated. just so that we couldn't bomb them, was the idea. But we don't have a lot of intel. We've been just trying to keep our portion of the River Valley that we've managed to scrape back secure, and even then, that's been difficult.
I guess Geist will look back at the team and be like, well, I don't know about you, and maybe this is just bias from the way that I like to do things, but if a slow infiltration isn't in the cards, maybe we should just do a low orbital flyby and drop. You know, maybe, I mean, it's possible that they'll have anti-air or anti-orbital defenses, clandestine ones that we don't know about, in which case things will get hairy real fast. But if we just drop in, hit the target hard, I think that's our best shot. That said, it may not be the best way to find the Moon Devils if any of them are still alive. Unless they've been brought there. I guess it depends on where they got taken out.
Aggressive. A novel choice.
I'm just spitballing here. If you got ideas, I'd love to hear them.
This sounds like an ambush waiting to happen.
They expect us to walk into an ambush?
To save our comrades? Maybe.
Do they even know where we are? Do they know that we're here? Do they know that we haven't been arrested? A lot of variables.
They know someone's still out here.
Like I said, if you got a better idea, I'd love to hear it, but... you know, if you're gonna walk into a trap, you might as well do it with a gun in each hand.
What do you think, Joseph?
I can infiltrate. I can attack. Whatever you prefer.
And your frame can be stealthy, right?
It's pretty light. So it's probably the stealthiest among us, but I don't know if I have any like stealth features besides maybe camo, but I don't know if that's a thing that all of us can check
camo.
Off.
No, but I just mean like if we, you know, if we're blundering into a trap and we have one unknown element who can like shrink a ray or like be undetectable when the trap closes, then we can take some of the advantage back, is all I'm thinking.
We should scout it out, have one person not be grouped up with us as we approach this. At least.
I don't think the Hex Construction Worker Gambit's going to work here.
Ah, come on. One more time.
They wouldn't expect it.
You wouldn't shoot a blue-collar worker like me, would you?
I'm here for the inspection. God, did they not call ahead again?
Hex is shot on sight.
Not this shit again.
You have time to decide. We're going to have Worthy fly over to your new base after this. I won't be coming with you. No one will, who will be going back to the city. So this will probably be our last time speaking in person.
It's been an honor.
You are a good squad, despite these complications. I hope you'll remember that we're all fighting for something, even after this is over.
Yeah, I hope that when they lock you up for the pillage of Terra Bray, you at least get a nice cell. Who knows? Maybe I'll be won over.
You're too ugly. I don't want to look at you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. I don't know. I don't have any words. Any questions? Rules of engagement? There are none. Your objectives are just to get the intel. Finding what happened to the Moon Devils is secondary, but, I mean, you'll probably find them together. Chances are.
So, just to be clear, the intel we're supposed to gather is what the fuck is in the warehouse?
Yes. Unless they already figured it out, but that doesn't seem likely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good luck with shit on your end. At least, you know, one advantage of going dark is that we don't gotta deal with the fucking bureaucracy anymore. I can't say I'll miss it.
Well, yeah, I'll give Kilo your best, but he's been kind of kept in the dark, if I'm being honest with you.
That's for the best. He doesn't need this shit on his hands.
I do have one question. Why are you taking the fall?
Well, who else would? Right?
But why are you doing it?
I guess, I know it's bad. I know it has to be done, but I feel like if I didn't get punished, if I just ran away to some planet somewhere, then I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to sleep. And if I'm wrong, if for some fucking reason I got it wrong, I want to be punished. I don't want to be alone.
Hicks doesn't look satisfied with the answer, but he's quiet.
She's telling the truth. But she seems very out of it, very unhinged. Like she honestly does not seem fit to be really doing anything anymore.
Well, Nyla, I always admired you for your ability to make the hard choices. Coming from me, that probably means almost nothing. It was good to work with you. Whatever happens, you know, we did all we could.
Yeah. All right. Dismissed, I guess. Good luck.
Geist will offer a little robot handshake.
She kind of looks down at your hand. And like she just has this like look on her face of I don't know. I guess Loyal would be able to put it together. He's so empathetic. She doesn't. It's not that she doesn't want to shake his hand. She doesn't know if she should. She seems like exceptionally confused. Like her like whole persona that she's kind of built of being like kind of in control has like completely fallen apart, and she's like a. She's like a kid who's like lost her parents, and just kind of like looks at the hand and says, I shouldn't, and kind of just like turns away.
All right.
Whenever she gets to the doorway, Loyal says to her, Nyla, you were a good leader.
She just keeps walking.
Hex follows her.
Fuck.
Yeah, I want to say goodbye too.
Hex says one goodbye.
Okay, try to follow her.
He just matches pace and says, just within earshot, I wouldn't hold it against you if you changed your mind, and just leaves.
Joseph?
Well, now she's moving.
Feels a little Joseph's
weird.
Quick, you know.
Well, she was supposed to be standing.
Hex is a little out of breath.
I think maybe... I don't know. Never mind. I guess I can't do that. Never mind.
Hex started chasing, or no, Joseph chased and then walked back. It's like, nope.
Well, yeah, no, he didn't move. I guess he says to himself, there goes the good person. And then he walks off alone.
Okay. Any last things you want to do in the onion warehouse? Any last onions you want to eat?
Are there any green onions around?
Yeah, probably. Every okay. onion. And shallots, too.
Damn, this is actually pretty sweet warehouse. I thought it was just yellow onions.
We got all kinds. I think Luke is onto something.
Goodbye, Onion Land. I don't think Geist is going to give this place a second look. He's going to watch Nyla until she leaves. And then give his head a little shake.
Yeah, you see her take some pills before she gets on Booth's jet. And they should leave.
She's dead.
I don't understand her.
What do you mean? Come on, Hex, you don't understand her. Did you feel anything when you killed all those people in Clearwater Crater? Did you feel anything?
Just doing my job.
Exactly. That's what she's doing. She's doing what she thinks is right, even though it's fucked up and it's going to cause a lot of misery. Maybe even more than Clearwater Crater. It's going to be brutal. History is not going to be kind to any of us, but especially to her. She'll be vilified as a criminal because she was the only one who could do what needed to be done, and she truly believes it. That's why she's doing it. I'm surprised you of all people can't understand that.
History only will look badly on us if we're not the ones writing it.
We're not surviving this fucking conflict. Are you kidding me, Hex? Don't delude yourself.
Maybe you're not. I'm not the one with the death wish.
I don't have a death wish anymore.
Loyal, Hex laughs. That's the truth.
Oh, I Hex know. Does not believe you.
Whether or not Hex believes it.
We're all here watching this. I do want to see this. Joseph's like ready to intervene. You know, he's like worried now. He's like, oh God, here we go.
I think that's it. I think that's the end of the exchange unless Hex wants to say anything else.
Nah.
I think that's a good place to leave it.
It was fun.
I think Joseph turns to Loyal and gives him a nod and says, I guess we're even now, but I don't think you've run out of favors from me.
Loyal looks at him out of the side of his eye. Says, I guess we are.
Awesome. Okay. Worthy loads you all up onto his ship. Your frames, everything, your squad mates, Gopher, your new doctor.
Medical intern.
your vet, whose name is Archibald Bellworth. Wow.
Wasn't he like a real beefcake too?
He was
extremely
strong
buff, despite his best efforts.
Archibald.
He didn't want to be huge.
Such a posh name.
You are flown eastward towards the ice desert, head up over the mountains, away from the lake, and then Worthy kind of gets really low to the ground as the mountains kind of clear out, and like far on the horizon, you can see this big white wall, which is the ice desert's like blizzard, which kind of never goes out. You've got quite a bit of time until you get to that storm. How do you pass that time?
How are the raptors doing?
The raptors. So Spud, I think, can walk now. He's ambulatory.
Yeah, I was curious about him. He's ambulatory, but is he like all fucked up? Like, is he on like?
He's exceedingly fucked up. He needs much more serious implants than he has. but he's not using his cane. He's like explicitly stumbling around, refusing to use it.
Oh man, he's absolutely gonna get his fucking ass killed. Oh, poor Spud.
Where is Joseph situated on this nice flight cruise we're on?
Joseph's probably scrubbing up his own frame, kind of giving it a once over.
Where's everybody else?
I think Geist is over. I feel like he's probably hanging out with the Moon Devils. Or not the Moon Devils, sorry. He's hanging out with the Raptors and with Spud. Kind of trying to size up how combat capable he actually is.
X is just hanging out on the ship. Whatever briefings they have, he's reading those.
Is anybody else in the hangar right now?
It is kind of just like one big hangar, so everyone's kind of in there, but it's very disparate. Everyone's kind of spread out.
Yeah, so he'd be at whatever computers are.
Yeah, Joseph's probably far away in a little corner with his frame.
Cool. Loyal is by his frame, too. Kind of just doing his own thing there, keeping an eye on Joseph. And then he kind of floats nearby, like just kind of goes around the back of his frame so that he's slightly sneaking up on Joseph. And then he says to him, Joseph, come with me. There's something I want to show you.
Joseph turns around. Does he see you?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph nods, says, of course. He walks over.
Will turns around and floats out of the hangar through the halls and like a storage room somewhere on this ship, right? Some sort of area.
A crate or whatever, you know.
Maybe there's just like a room where a bunch of the tech is bundled, but no one's in there. It's kind of small, and Loyal goes in there, waits for Joseph to go in after him.
Joseph walks in.
As soon as the door closes, all of Loyal's spike supports suddenly just like come out, shoot onto the ground, like, and a couple of them I want him to position himself so that a couple of them pin Joseph's arms to the nearest wall as soon as the door closes behind him. I'm sure that's a roll.
If Adam wants it to happen, it doesn't have to be a roll. If Adam wants to have Joseph resist in some way, then I would say then yeah, it would be a roll.
Joseph's not going to resist this.
Okay, now that they're touching each other, Will wants to attempt, right? Attempt to look into his mind and see exactly who he intends to hurt in the Soul Union.
Does anyone else know my target?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I guess my question is, which question answer are you basing this off of, specifically, Loyal? I can bring them up and let you know what they were. It was one was like, have you ever felt the compulsion to harm another sentient being?
Yeah, there's two that were
and
flagged
that
under Loyal's
you
mind.
Have... He has intentionally undertaken actions which would endanger the Soul Union.
I guess I'm trying to look at specifically Who does he intend to harm?
That's
one of us, if there is anyone.
But was there like a declaration that would have said I was planning to harm someone? It was just that like I had wanted to harm someone, right? I had had that feeling.
It was, you have had the urge to harm another sentient being or yourself outside of mission parameters, and that you have undertaken actions that would endanger the Soul Union.
What I'm asking is, like, Loyal wouldn't know that there's a plan for me to assassinate someone. Like, that wouldn't...
No.
That can't be a basis, I don't think.
He could look at how it is you're trying to endanger the Soul Union, though.
Yeah, that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually probably more damning.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in right now. I want to know why Joseph's a threat, or if he's a threat. What's going on in that little tin brain?
I am down with this. However, you can't read people's minds. Like, mm-hmm. technically speaking. No. There's no role for that. I am down with it in like a psychic sense, because that's kind of like you're trying to judge his intentions, which is is a role, probably a survey. Also, I will float it, is that you can technically instill undirected emotions on people.
If I push myself, yeah.
You could inflict Joseph with the undirected emotion of wanting to confess.
I like that idea. I like that.
Or you can ask questions and just see if he's lying.
Real quickly, can Joseph, is he allowed to say anything? Can I talk? As this is like, as I'm pinned to the wall?
Absolutely.
Joseph says, "Would you like to ask me anything?"
Can I help you?
This seems a little extreme, but I'm ready to talk.
You are aware keenly of his mind, like prickling at the edges of yours, just very in tune with your intents right now, whether you're lying or not, trying to go deeper.
Joseph says, "Why would I lie to you? You would know if I'm lying."
I would. I have some questions.
I can just tell you the truth if you ask, Loyal. So why don't you ask?
He's just ignoring that Joseph seems angry at this point. And says, "What actions have you taken to endanger the Soul Union?"
Colin, what actions have I taken to endanger the Soul Union?
Wasn't me.
A couple, I think.
My understanding, just for to see if maybe this is a useful player perspective, my understanding is that you know that Contrition wants the Soul Union to lose this war, because it will be good for emergent personality liberation. And so I don't think it's a leap of logic to assume that the person you're assassinating plays into that somehow. But I don't think it's quite as clear cut as that, or at least Contrition hasn't told you that based on what I have seen as like an observer of the podcast as a whole.
Yeah.
Contrition's plan is ultimately to destroy the Soul Union. Is that correct?
Yeah, or otherwise turn it into an unrecognizable form.
Okay.
Depending on your perspective, you did collaborate with Goldhouse, and that did end up with soldiers dying, lots of people dying from the Soul Union. Nyla had you do that for the greater purpose of the Soul Union, but it's really up to interpretation whether that was like, you know, against the Soul Union or not.
Okay. I just says I went undercover with Goldhouse. I told you that.
Yes, you did. That answer is not good enough for him. Can we, and he means the Dusklights, count on you to finish what we have left to do?
Absolutely. You are not in my targets. That I can promise you.
That the truth?
That is the truth.
Well, hesitates for a second, but then the spokes retract. And he says, "Fine." And then just maneuvers his bulky body around Joseph again and goes out the door.
You can just ask next time.
No response.
Oh, man. Oh, the drama.
I love
Joseph,
it.
Joseph, now he logs those spokes. He locks those mechanical movements in his brain. He tries to take every little blueprint of what just came out of him And he goes searching for it on the web.
We just look at his Google search. It's like, how do you kill a dolphin in an exopod? Like two-finger typing.
Joseph's going to run up to Sunliv, by the way, afterwards. He's just going to jog up and he says, do you feel like you can't trust me anymore?
Sunliv doesn't look at you. And he doesn't try to get away from Joseph. They like keeping pace together in these halls. And he says, I don't trust any feeling I have anymore.
I don't think that's good for any of us. I do mean it. That any of my motives don't affect the plan at all.
That the truth?
That is the truth. I wouldn't have gone into them if I knew it would harm the team. We have our own tasks to accomplish, and I will not abandon those, as I assume you have your own tasks to accomplish.
Something kind of flicks his tail, and then his front flukes kind of splay out so he doesn't go too far forward in his tank. And he turns his head towards Joseph and nods.
I appreciate the help.
Anytime.
Anytime. Now Joseph walks away.
No one trusts each other. This is great.
Joseph trusts you guys, all right? I promise you that.
I don't trust Joseph.
Well, that's weird. So, I don't know why you wouldn't trust
weird,
a robot.
A weird little guy in the corner.
Fucking onion man.
Go for what are you doing here? Get out of here.
Okay, you hit the blizzard. Worthy plunges right into it. The ship rattles and lurches, plunges like hundreds of feet in the air through a very turbulent storm. Outside the windows, it is just white out there. And then eventually you kind of break through something, this pocket of stable atmosphere. And it's just all of a sudden you can see. And ahead of you is a pair of blast doors in the side of what looks to be a glacier, which the ship flies right into and touches down. The back of the ship opens up and you get your first look at the base. There's a big pile of abandoned construction equipment, in the corner of this hangar. These like excavators, backhoes, forklifts, industrial drills, all piled up in the corner of this ice cave. Right in front of the open door to the ship is this humanoid machine about 4 feet tall, with a screen for a face depicting an unsettling image of a woman smiling. Hello, welcome to your new home. Dusklight's family. My name is J0-4NN3, but you can call me Joanne. Ha ha.
The TikTok voice.
I fucking hate this thing.
Hello, Joanne.
Hello, little boy. I'm here to give you a tour of your new home. Your new home has so many exciting features, and I'm programmed to introduce you to them.
Is there a volume button on this thing?
Oh, hell.
I think in probably an almost unconscious display of his new part. This is like a big room, right? It's like a big hangary kind of room.
Yeah, I'm about to describe it too.
Okay. I was going to say Geist walks off the ship ramp, and as he does, the changeling also walks off the ship ramp.
Fuck
like
yeah.
The question about a volume knob was genuine, by the way.
That's a roll, and it's a desperate roll.
Oh, fuck.
Desperate interface.
Joanne does not wait for you to continue to talk to her, and she gestures around the ice cave around you and says, this is the garage. It's an excellent place to meet guests and store your vehicles. Let me know if you have any questions or if you are ready to move on to the next room.
Next.
next
okay,
room.
Well, let me describe the garage first, which is it is very big, capable of housing multiple frames, as well as your repair bay, your workshop, and your newly installed hyper booster, which is what we called it. A volatile charging device, which is going to give you that +1 D2 assault, I believe. This cave was carved out of this deep blue ice. The ancient permafrost, which has been pushed up out of the ocean by these colliding plates of ice. And at the top of the garage, entombed in the ice, is a partial skeleton of what seems to be a a prehistoric ancestor of those cuttlefish that you met in Caldera Lake.
Sick. Oh my god.
That's awesome.
You have said next, so you're going to go on to the next part, which is that Joanne points outside the large blast doors of the garage towards this large flattened area of ice, barely visible through the snow. And she says, "That is the airfield. You'll receive regular groceries to sustain yourself totally off the grid. Cozy."
We have to cook.
Cozy.
I don't understand.
Next room.
Next.
Joanne takes you into a small side tunnel in the wall of the garage and leads you up a spiraling hall to the top of the glacier. She opens a secured door which leads to this almost polyhedric dome which juts out of the snow with windows pointing outwards. In the center of the dome is a bizarre cubic device which is letting out an unsettling low vibration which you can feel in your bones. Looking outside from here, you can notice that there are actually two layers to the weather outside. There's the immediate weather, which is a lighter snowfall, which is kind of peaceful and surrounds the glacier. But farther out, there is a sphere of this heavier blizzard weather, which is impossible to see through. It's kind of like you're in a snow globe. And Joanne says, "This is the air conditioner. It'll keep you cool in the summer and warm in the winters. Only the best for you, family."
Thank you, Joanne.
God damn it, Blues.
It's fucking nauseating. It's so perfect.
you didn't say next, so you stay here. She just stares at you.
Next.
Joanne leads you back down into the base to a sort of security room full of camera feeds and server racks. And she says, "Dusklight's family. Nobody wants to worry about pests in their beautiful home. That's why your new home has top-in-class automated security systems. Just a call away."
Are there controls here or something?
It's fully automated.
All right.
I think it's next. Fully automated.
I didn't understand. Could you say that again?
I said next.
Oh, great. She leads you back into the garage, then across it into another hallway, which splits off in multiple directions. And she says, "Down here, you will find all of the bedrooms, the kitchen, as well as the personal gym and study. There's plenty of room for guests, pests, and more."
Yeah, we'll come check it out in more in depth later. I think Geis is going to look. He's waiting for somebody to interrupt him, but he's going to be next.
"Sorry, that's the end of the tour. Do you not love your new home, Dusklight's family? I love your new home, too. It is so cozy, off the grid, and safe. Sorry, I didn't catch that."
Nothing. X goes back to...
Is this like a little floating robot?
No, it's a humanoid.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay.
Joseph, can you turn this thing off?
Joseph walks up to it. Can I make it say anything? Like, if I finagle with it?
It steps back when you get too close.
Oh.
Are you gonna just try and make Colin say things in the funny voice?
"Please don't move," and I step closer.
Okay.
Can I interface with it?
What is your goal?
I just want to say I can say something funny.
But yeah, I'm not gonna make you roll for that. It's very simple. It's very simply programmed.
Okay. I want to make it scream, if that's okay.
It has two lines of dialogue. Yeah, sure. Ah!
What are you doing?
No one's laughing. Oh, okay. And I push her away and walk back to the group.
Dusklight's family. Dusklight's family. Do you need anything before I shut down and erase myself for your privacy and security?
No, that sounds good to me.
Wait a minute. Does that kill you, Joanne? Are you done?
It's okay, little buddy. It's all part of the policy. Do not worry. I will be going to heaven.
And what do we do with your body?
Don't worry.
Erase and shut down.
So.
Thanks for all your good moments. It collapses into a pile of machinery, and they all grow legs and scuttle off into the walls.
What the fuck?
Oh, fuck. So I can just make one of those at any time, huh?
That's so hot. I mean, what? That's very intuitive.
Be my next Joseph belief. Does he want to fuck the ice base? And then you'll have to answer me honestly.
He really has been compromised.
Well, that was awful, but seems like a pretty nice place.
Very cozy.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't have anything I really want to do here other than just claim some quarters and...
Yeah, Hex wants to unpack.
Yeah, I think that's all we're going to do.
Loyal's just looking at the Nautilus ancestor.
Joseph's looking at Loyal. Just saying.
On the line, looking at each other. What does it mean?
Oh my god.
Hex is taking his luggage and is looking for the quarters.
You find them. You get the top bunk. I think you all get your own rooms.
Yay. Do we get any items in there? Or is it just bare bones?
I think anything you sent to be moved over here was moved over. So it's pretty much similar to your old stuff.
Yeah, Geist goes back to the changeling, I assume.
I'm guessing you rest for the day before you head out on another mission. It's been a long day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Geist has been spending a lot of time thinking about the crown. He's been thinking about it a lot.
What's that like?
I don't know. I think Geist has been... He's thinking that maybe he should take it, but now that he doesn't necessarily want to die, or he's not looking to die in a berserker rage like he initially thought he might, it's like, it's different. It is more like that other kind of martyrdom where you just like... you know, get killed in a really sad way. But I mean, he's just thinking, because he doesn't know how any of this works. He assumes that if he did want to do it, it would have to come to him, but he doesn't know how that happens. And he's kind of afraid to think too hard about it, but he's just kind of like pondering it to see if he feels anything, I guess. And he's probably doing it while sitting in the cockpit of the changeling, because that's just where he's most comfortable now.
I love that. All right. Want to load up?
Yeah.
I think it's time to load up.
Are frames different now, disguised, or are they the same?
They are. I was thinking we'll look at them during the actual engagement roll.
Yeah, good idea.
You all load into Worthy's ship, and you begin another long flight. Isn't that awful?
This is
two flights in a row.
This
is
the next day. I hate connecting flights.
I know, it's awful. You sail out from the Perpetual Storm, then head south, avoiding the city entirely before curving back up towards the far edge of the river valley. I presume you're doing assault, right? Otherwise, this narration is going to be different.
Yes, I believe that's the plan. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That works for me. It is deeper than you've ever been in Cluster's territory. The hospitable trees and creeks of the valley give way to these swampy tributaries and wetland areas. Farther in here is the Silt Basin, which is where the leadership of the Clusterus most likely is. Agimenta, Welkind Up, Pierce Sunspire, they're probably all hiding somewhere in the swamps that are just at the edge of the river valley. It would typically follow that this area would be the most heavily fortified as well, but like was mentioned to you, the latest intelligence suggests that is not the case, and that this deep end, the Reclusterists are just doing guerrilla tactics. They're hiding their bases, avoiding any troop concentrations, and making it a lot harder to make any decisive strikes against them. Very quick look. What are each of you doing during this long flight?
I feel like Geist is probably spending it in the cockpit of the changeling, but like it'll be open if anybody wants to talk to him. But he's hanging out inside of his mech, going over diagnostics or pondering.
Hex approaches Joseph.
Sure. Joseph's probably at his frame.
Joseph, listen. About you being compromised, do I have anything to worry about?
You don't have anything to worry about, my friend.
Are you sure?
I do have my own things going on. I will tell you that, X. But none of them include you or anyone else with the Dusklights. I do mean that. You can even ask Loyal.
I don't know if I could trust the dolphin, but okay.
If we can't trust the dolphin, we can't really trust anyone, can we?
And what if we can't? Very well. I'll leave you to it.
Hey. Joseph puts out his hand for a handshake. Good luck out there.
Hopefully we won't need it. He shakes his hand.
Hell yeah.
Back to in-flight entertainment.
What's Loyal doing?
I think he's hanging out with Worthy in the cockpit.
Worthy is white-knuckling the fucking joystick? No. Whatever it's called. The yoke. And this guy keeps looking down. It's like, we're too fucking far in.
Just a little bit further now.
Just a little bit further. You better fucking clear that LZ.
Yeah. We will.
And I guess, Joseph, are you doing anything?
I think after that, I'm just going over my frame.
The drop light turns on. 15 minutes to drop. You know, it always feels longer than you think. And then the swamps below you, the floor opens up, and your frames plunge downwards towards the uncertain target.
Oh, fuck.
We will resume from there next time. We'll make the roll then, too.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
How exciting.
Good shit.